Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, May the 24th, a very warm summer-like day here in North Texas. We're getting very close to Memorial Day in a few days, and when that happens, our temperatures here begin to feel like summer, and then, of course, we have a very long summer ahead of us. This happens every year. Well, today we're going to talk about Senator Rubio. He has a very interesting proposal, and I'm writing a post about that Friday morning. We're going to talk about the FBI and the Trump campaign. They're meeting today. I guess they're going to look over some documents. The Texas Democrats, this is a huge story, I think. Texas Democrats just didn't show up to vote. I have a post about this over at the American Thinker today. They just didn't show up to vote at all. That was really quite a story. The NFL has decided to put a penalty, or to throw a flag, if you will, on the players who don't kneel during the national anthem. It's kind of a halfway measure, because the reality is they should be taking very strong action against these players, because these players signed a contract to play. And part of that contract is they're representing the team and they're working. This is not their free time when they're, you know, taking a knee during the national anthem. They're working. And I think the employer has every right to say, hey, you're working for me and you got to do what I say. And if you don't like it, great. Do something else for a living. Become a community activist. Do something else. But when you're working, you got to play by my rules. And so I think it's kind of a sign of weakness. I think the NFL did it because they're under tremendous economic pressure. The television ratings last year were not good. And the NFL, more than any other sport, really depends on television ratings. But I don't think it was tough enough. I've always felt all along that if you play in the NFL or any major league sport and your contract or your team goes out and takes the field during the national anthem, you got to do the same thing and you got to show respect for the national anthem. If you've got a problem with history, that's okay. That's okay. But during the national anthem, you show respect. So I don't know. I think a lot of fans are probably going to feel like me, that this is kind of a halfway measure. But at least they're going in the right direction. We can certainly say that. Well, why don't we begin with North Korea? Because this has been the big story today. President Trump decided to pull out. I sort of saw this coming, really, here in the last day or so. Because it just seems like, you know, North Korea was talking too much, and I just kind of felt that this was going to happen. But I also will tell you, I think this is a negotiating ploy by President Trump, who's a master negotiator. I think we're seeing that over and over and over again. I fully expect that there's going to be a reconciliation, and I fully expect there's going to be a summit. Now, it may not happen on June 12th. Maybe it'll happen a week later. But there's going to be a summit, and it's because I believe that North Korea is very seriously looking at the possibility of moving forward. That's a country in very bad shape. That's a country where just about everybody's starving to death. And at some point, they've got to feed their population. I mean, it's great to have all these great military parades and all of these nuclear missiles and all of that. But I believe very seriously that this guy could get overthrown from within any day, because the situation in North Korea is just deplorable. I'm not expecting the people to rise up, but I think you could have something, you know, some kind of a military coup or something to get him out. And so I expect this guy to sit down and try to cut a deal with President Trump. He needs the money. He needs the food. And he needs the economic activity a heck of a lot more than President Trump does. So something will happen. But I'm not surprised that President Trump decided to pull the rug, or at least to get us out, or cancel the meeting, or reschedule the meeting, whatever you want to call it, postpone. That's what I was thinking of. Decided to postpone the meeting. Not at all surprised that happened. I have a post coming out tomorrow morning regarding Senator Rubio of Florida. Senator Rubio has proposed to the Department of Justice that they do an indictment of Raul Castro. And the indictment is over the shooting of four American citizens back in February 1996. Some of you may remember the story, the Brothers to the Rescue. This was a group based in Miami who would go out to the Straits of Florida, would fly around looking for rafters and looking for Cubans in a raft, and then they would contact the Coast Guard, and the Coast Guard would try to find these people and try to pick them up and probably provide them some water and so on. Some of these people out there in the Straits of Florida, I mean, you can get dehydrated very quickly in that tropical sun. So that's what their job was. They would go around, look for these rafters and you know, go out the next day and do the same thing. On February 24th or February 26th, 1996, two of these planes were out there, very small planes, and apparently they got very close to the Cuban airspace. There's no evidence that they actually entered the space, but they got very close, or they may have flown into an area that the Cuban government will contest that it's part of their airspace. So two Cuban MiGs or one Cuban MiG came out and shot down both planes. It was a horrific act. I mean, these two planes, let's assume that they had gone into Cuban airspace. Let's just assume that. And that's a big assumption because there's no evidence of it. But let's just assume. Well, what you do is you get a couple of MiGs out there and you direct these two small planes into Cuban territory and you get them to land and then you arrest the pilot and the other men. You don't shoot at a civilian aircraft. The civilian aircraft was not a threat to the MiGs, obviously. So this was a horrible shooting, and we are pretty certain that the man who made the decision to shoot them down was Raul Castro. It was either Raul Castro or Fidel Castro. Those are the only two people in Cuba in 1996 who were had the authority, I should say, to make a decision like this, to actually shoot down some civilian airplanes. And the United States reacted very strongly back in 1996. One of the consequences of that action was that the Cuban embargo was codified into the Helms-Burton Act, which made it much more difficult to remove the embargo, as we saw with President Obama, who desperately wanted to end it, but he just couldn't do it. And now Senator Rubio is saying, we should go the distance here. We should indict Raul Castro for this terrible crime against humanity. And I hope they do. I hope they do. Now, they're never going to catch him, probably. They're never going to get to actually physically bring him to the United States like they did with, you know, Noriega back in 1989, I think it was, when we invaded Panama. But I think it would be a good idea to indict him because in the event, and this is where I think this is very interesting, in the event of, a new Cuban government sometime in the future could very well move Raul Castro to the United States. I mean, the United States could request I can't think of the term right now, but when you request a criminal from another country, the United States could do that, and a Cuban government would accept that, particularly a future Cuban government. So it's bad news for Raul Castro, and I'm really, really happy that Senator Rubio is doing this. It's just an absolutely wonderful, wonderful idea, and something that, well, I was never optimistic that this would happen under President Obama, but I feel more optimistic, much more optimistic, under President Trump. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Geddes, and then we'll be right back.
Carlos Geddes Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sisiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sisiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we've got a link to Carlos' schedule right there under the show description. Click on that, and you'll get to see where he's playing around town this week. With Memorial Day coming up, the big weekend, I'm sure that he's going to be pretty active, as he always as he always is. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the Texas Democrats and the terrible showing that they made a couple of weeks ago. I mean, one of the lowest turnouts in Texas history. Before we do, though, I want to say a couple of things about today, May 24th. Happy number 135 to the Brooklyn Bridge, one of the great, great landmarks of New York, the Brooklyn Bridge. It opened on this day in that would have been 1888. So, no, 18, whatever it was. 1883, excuse me. So it's 135 years to the Brooklyn Bridge. Again, one of the great landmarks of New York. And we say happy number 77 to Bob Dylan, one of the great songwriters of the 20th century. My songs, favorite songs are still Mr. Tambourine Man and Like a Rolling Stone. Those are the ones that he performs. Obviously, he has a lot of other songs that other people perform, like Peter, Paul, and Mary, and so on. So happy number 77 to Bob Dylan, who was born Robert Zimmerman on this day in Duluth, Minnesota. And to my knowledge, he still lives up there. In fact, I remember reading an article when he turned 70 a few years ago. I remember reading an article that he lives there in a house in Duluth, and people knock on the door and say hello to Bob Dylan with frequency. So happy number 77 to Mr. Bob Dylan. Well, let's talk a little bit about what happened here in Texas on Tuesday. We had a runoff, round two, of the primary, and there was a competitive contest for Texas governor on the Democrat side. Lupe Valdez was the eventual winner, and Andrew White, the difference was about 6 points, 53-47. That I was not surprised, because I really thought that she would win. You know, she got 43 or something like that in the first round. So she already had a foundation of votes in the low 40s. So all she had to do is get up to 51, and she obviously did it. Mr. Andrew White did, I suppose, better than most people thought. He was not a well-known person at all. But right now, he's being criticized a great deal by some of his supporters because he didn't spend any money. Apparently, he held on to some of the cash that he had lent to the campaign. I think that if Andrew White had really fought this campaign and given Lupe Valdez a fight, maybe he wouldn't have won, but I think he would have set himself up, frankly, for a future run here in Texas. I think the fact that he didn't fight that hard, the fact that he didn't campaign that hard, he didn't spend any money on radio and TV, as you would expect in a big state like Texas. I'm not sure he's got that much of a future after doing that. But the big story, the big super story out of Texas is the turnout, which I just learned in the last couple of days was the lowest turnout since 1920. We had about 419,000 people who voted in 2018. Back in 1920, there were like 440,000 Democrats who voted. So, I mean, that's almost 100 years ago. And here we are, a much bigger population. I mean, relatively speaking, this had to be one of the lowest turnout elections in Texas history, and even probably in the whole country. 419,000 people in a state of 20 million people showed up to vote. I mean, the last time Wendy Davis, who was the Democrat governor, or the candidate for governor, she got like 1.6, 1.7 million votes against Governor Abbott, who ran for governor in 2014, and he got almost 3 million. So there was a difference of about 1.5 million and about 20 points in the percentages. I expect, I don't know how this lady, Lupe Valdez, frankly, is going to get up to 1.5 million. I really have a hard time believing that. I do expect that Governor Abbott will be around 3 million. So she's going to have a very difficult time, I think, getting over 1.5 million votes. So I'm looking right now. I don't like to assume anything, because when you assume, then you don't show up to vote, and that's how you lose the election. So you don't want to assume anything. You want to get out there and vote as if the election could be decided by your vote. And that's certainly the attitude that I've always had when it comes to elections. But when you look back at this race and you look at the two candidates, this is going to be a very difficult one for the Democrats to win. I just don't know how else to tell you that. This is going to be a very difficult one for the Democrats to win. Have a great day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.